Talk on KTNFN AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate your tuning in. Today is Sunday, August 13th, 2017, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. I'm here to chat with Georgia, Dan, and Jordan for our monthly Answers from Atheist show. This is a very open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio at minnesotaatheist.org, or tweet us at atheisttalk. The phone number is only available when we are live, but you can always email or tweet whether we're live or whether you're listening to this on the podcast. Georgia, Dan, Jordan, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I do have one, which I feel might be our most important question of the day. And I know, Georgia and Dan, you should be able to answer this. This is from Hertzy Hertz. Who won the game last night?
Well, not the Saints.
What?
Yeah, I know. We've done pretty good. They've done pretty good when we've been there, but not this time. It was still a fairly entertaining game, I thought. How about you?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. I think that might put us at 3-3.
Yeah. Is it now 3-3? Are we even? No.
Well, I have to go back and look.
Right. Yeah. But I think everybody had a good time.
Absolutely.
Right. I was going to say that's the most important one. All right. Well, as we're waiting to see if we get any calls today, let's start with some of the questions that we've gotten or have gotten in the past. We're going to start with a funny one, I think is a funny one. Aren't you all Satanists?
I can't speak for everyone. Well, maybe I could. But no, I don't. I'm not.
No, not at all.
So isn't Satan considered a god as well?
I was going to say, I think he's supposed to be an angel, a fallen
right.
angel.
Yeah.
Angel, god.
I think you have to believe in a god to be able to believe in a devil. I don't know of anybody that would believe in a supreme evil being but wouldn't believe in like a good being. So yeah, I'm not a follower of something that I don't believe in.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Here's a question. Were you ever hurt by religion, and is that why you are an atheist? I know, Dan, you and I listened to a couple of podcasts, and so they might ask the question, so did your mother die of cancer? Because in the Christian movies, that's usually what happens. Your mother died of cancer, and that's why you're an atheist.
Mother, wife, somebody. Yeah. Okay. You're angry at God. So.
Gotcha. Hurt? No, I can't say that I was. No.
I was, but that has nothing to do with where I'm at now. Because it was a thoughtful process for me to get where I'm at. So
I think this goes to the idea that a lot of people have, and I've had this question broached before, is that atheists don't believe in God or take that position because they're emotional. Or they're angry at God, and so then they say, you know, well, I'm just not going to follow this or believe this. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of atheists, a lot of them, and none of them take that position. Honestly, I've never heard that from an actual atheist.
Because I look at it this way, if you still believe in a God and you're angry at God, you're not an atheist.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you're still going with the idea that God is there.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, that kind of, then you'll get the question too, it's like, well, are you just angry at him? That's why you don't believe in him? It's like,
right.
Okay, that doesn't quite make sense, so I can't be angry at something. It's like I'm not mad at unicorns,
right?
For example,
right? Or your boss? It's like I'm really upset with him, so now I don't believe he exists. You can try that. I don't think it'll go well.
That would be fun. Let's all try
just ignore
to believe
him completely. Like,
well, I was gonna say it works for Trump. It's like so many people don't like Trump, and he still exists.
Right. Fake news. Fake news.
Have you ever tried looking at other religions? I was going to say, actually, I grew up Catholic, and actually, I played with some of the Wiccan.
Hands raising, little sign.
Kind of, sort of, not really, though. I mean, I was raised Catholic my whole life, so that was pretty much all I got into.
Yeah, like I said, I played with the Wiccan paganism for a little bit, tarot cards, but it did not last long.
Yeah.
The lack of results and...
well, and there wasn't a lot of people, and then I ended up going to a Assemblies of God college for 9 months, and where people had these really fascinatingly bad ideas as to what Wiccanism and pagan was. And they were like, oh, they had all this bad stuff, and I'm like, guys, they're tree hugging hippies.
Right.
They're not doing anything. And that was a big portion of just like, this whole thing sounds crazy. Georgia, you raised your hand.
I just want to say that one of the things that my mother did for us as, I was raised in a Mormon household, was that she did take us to other churches to see how they worshiped.
Oh, interesting.
That was part of her education to us. So I know a lot about religious groups, and I did my own research. I'm also a sociology major, so I studied religion when I was in college.
Awesome.
So
was it just the Christian religion she took you to, or did she try anything outside, like Judaism?
I think where I grew up, there weren't a lot of other religious groups at that time other than Christian. Mm. Where I grew up. So we went to a Catholic churches, Baptists.
Which one was the craziest?
You know what? Going back now, I thought Catholic was kind of crazy with their up and down service.
Yeah, standing up and then kneeling down. Yeah. That got real annoying real quick.
Oh,
yeah.
So my favorite was when we went to a church that didn't have kneelers. Because every so often we'd check out different Catholic churches, and I was like, oh, no kneelers, awesome.
Yeah. there's like all these rules. Like you're supposed to genuflect before and after you leave the pew. It's like there's a lot of stuff here that I'm just not doing. I just don't want to really.
Oh, and then what's fun is like watching the different – because we had quite a few people in the church, and I was watching because some people did some stuff and then other people didn't do, it was like this mixed bag of what they were doing. And I was like, this is kind of a free for all, isn't it?
Yeah, that was my conclusion. Okay. So they're like, one thing is there are 10,000 different types of Christian groups in the U.S. alone.
Oh, Lord.
So who knows about other countries that consider themselves Christian?
Well, my mom, she used to be Lutheran, but she converted to being Catholic. But when she was Lutheran, I had a kind of a in-law that said that since she was Lutheran and not Catholic, she was going to hell. That's like, okay, sure, whatever.
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist. Excuse me. And I guess, I started to see all the failings in that. And I did look around more at then other Christian ideologies and beliefs and came to the conclusion, it's like, well, they're all based on the same problematic ideas or belief systems. I started to look into some other religions. And it actually has become something that I'm pretty fascinated with, is the origin of religions and how they start and how they morph. You know, where did Mormonism come from? Where did Seventh-day Adventism come from? Where did Christianity, Islam, et cetera? And they all have the same problems. And so it's more just an academic sort of exercise, but it's something I find fascinating.
It is.
All right. So here's another good one. Why are we fighting so hard against something we don't think exists?
Mm. Yeah. Well, I guess it's I would put it to the person asking this. I'd ask a question back. I'd be like, if you believe or you're aware that a significant portion of the population was basing its morals and making its decisions on something erroneous, no matter what that thing is, wouldn't you want to help them discover the truth and help give them a better basis? It's more for me about trying to help people learn how to make decisions based on reality.
Right. Well, for me, it's like it's more like education. It's like because you know, you want to have people that, you know, they say it's like, you know, they're not sure how something works. They're just gonna say it's like, oh well, higher power did it. It's like, no, we have physical evidence here. This is how it works. It doesn't matter what you think, but it works this way. And that's kind of what the whole thing is too. It's like have people think logically and look at reality. Just yeah.
Even if they don't necessarily come to the exact same conclusions, I want people to do a better job, and that moves into the more skeptic sort
of
movement.
As long
as
they're like kind of trying,
right,
making an effort towards it.
And I would go back to saying that the evidence lies on the believer. They need to prove their God exists.
Like, because you can't prove a negative, you know.
Exactly.
And there is a lot of harm that religion does. I mean, if you look at the wars that are waged and you look historically, you know, yes, half of the churches in the United States were fighting slavery, but half of them were fighting for it. Mm-hmm. If you just get rid of religion and you don't have that, I don't know what you use to be able to say, you know, you can own a person. There's no logical way you can say that.
Right.
All right. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break. Please stay with us through this break, and we'll return to Atheist Talk with our guests, Georgia, Dan, and Jordan. I'm Hertzie Hertz, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. To Atheist Talk. I'm your host, Hertzie Hertz, here with Georgia, Jordan, and Dan, talking about our answers in atheism. And Dan, over the break, you were showing me this interesting site that has some questions, so we're going to go through some of these.
These are supposed to be very difficult, correct?
These might be the gotcha questions that everyone always comes up with.
Maybe you could have a conversion today.
Ooh. If that happens, that's going to be tough for the radio show. I hurt you all very much.
We're going to have to find a few more people now.
I was going to say, you guys are all volunteers, and I can't lose you. All right. So the first one is, are you absolutely sure there is no God? And if not, then is it possible that there is a God? And if it is possible that a God exists, can you think of any reason that you would keep from wanting to look at the evidence?
Okay. Wow, word salad.
Okay.
Yes.
What was the first part of that one?
Are you absolutely sure there is no God? We'll start with that one.
Okay. Am I absolutely sure? No, I'm not absolutely 100% sure. But for me, there's a
little. We're going to hold on.
Go ahead.
Dan?
Absolutely no. I can't say I'm absolutely sure there's no God.
Georgia, you neither?
No.
You know what? Neither am I. I'm not 100%. But, you know, that's one thing. We base things on evidence. And it's like, if the evidence shows up, well, then we'll believe.
Got to keep an open mind.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And to be perfectly honest, I think that actually – well, and there's wanting to look at the evidence. And I'm like, nobody's presented any evidence that can't be explained so far.
Well, not enough evidence to – I mean
– there's no miracles. That's my big thing.
You've got to have enough evidence to like – the bigger the claim, the more evidence you have to have. It's a big claim.
It is a big claim.
Yeah. My favorite one is the sun. You know, people will say, well, look at the sunrise. I'm like, yes, it's this amazing, you know, the timing and the factor that we're in that perfect spot is all the randomness of the universe. It's not enough for me to think that there's a God. We know how that works.
Because I find it pretty.
It's a big, gaseous, fiery ball.
Because did he not create the whole universe, which we have no idea how far it goes out? But he created life just on this one little part.
Actually, the site I have the site up on my computer as well because I stole Dan's phone because I can't find the site on the site. But he actually had this site actually does have something about aliens and Christians and so that Christianity. So that might be something we go into on a show. So number two, would you agree that intelligently designed things call for an intelligent designer of them?
That's a circular thing.
So you're talking about cars?
Wait,
airplanes? Sure.
That you can't do that. You can't say that ask if something that is intelligently designed is intelligently designed. That's a nonsense question. You beg the question immediately.
We talked about this before too, the whole intelligent design thing. Just look at anybody. It's like, how are we intelligently designed when there's so many flaws?
Oh, and Dan, Jordan, I pardon, but especially dudes. You guys have
we talked about this once before, and it's like there are so many flaws that there's no way that we're intelligently designed.
Anybody here have any back problems?
I've had 8 surgeries. Thank you very much. I don't consider that intelligent design.
Like it probably wasn't a good design.
There's something wrong there. Everybody you talk to has got something going on.
And Georgia, you and I, as the ladies in this particular one, every month it is not intelligently designed.
So yeah, that's all gone for me because I wasn't intelligently designed.
I'm a little jealous. A little jealous.
Like you should be. It's a great place to be.
So started out with begging the question, so we're done with that already.
Oh, yeah, we're done with that one. Ooh, this is going to be quick. Number 3, would you agree that nothing cannot produce something? If so, then the universe did not exist, but then came to exist. Would this be evidence of a cause beyond the universe? I love this one because it's questioning the Big Bang Theory. And my thing is, okay, so we don't know what happened before that.
So we know what happened?
Yet.
That's what they're saying. Oh, we don't know how this happened, so we know how it happened.
But you can't bring something that you have no evidence for into the picture here. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's theories. I mean, we don't know how the universe came to exist. I mean, there's ideas about zero-point energy. Et cetera. We don't know. And I'm okay not knowing something. Mm-hmm. Admitting that, fine.
If I don't know how something works, well, then try my best to understand. If it's not explainable, well, just leave it at that.
You're not just going to make something up and say it's the truth?
You can't put the God factor into everything that you can't answer.
Come on, Jordan.
Again,
come on.
Going back to that.
Try to be open-minded.
Well, especially because, I mean, if we look at the God of the gaps, I mean, God used to cover all these gaps, and then it got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And I'm just like, eventually this is just going to go away.
And, of course, there's the infinite regression. Then where did God come from? And if you say that he came from nothing or was always existed, well, that's not an answer either. So.
No. Yeah. All right. Number 4. Would you agree with me that just because we cannot see something with our eyes, such as our mind, gravity, magnetism, the wind, that it does not mean it doesn't exist?
Well, we can't see it, but we can experience that.
Oh, yeah. Things exist I can't see. China.
But we can go there.
The internet.
I took a human anatomy class. I saw the insides of a person.
Emotions are... real that can't see. Yeah, I mean, sure, okay, fine. I don't know what this proves.
Yeah.
It's not like atheists say there's no God because I can't see one.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like they're asking, it's like, you know, we can experience these things. There's evidence for them, but, you know, just because we can't see God, it's like.
Not my big stumbling block.
Yeah, no.
No.
It's like, well, if he's trying to make a point that he exists, he needs to try a little bit harder.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a little bit.
Humans need clue by fours. All right, number 5, would you also agree that just because we cannot see God with our eyes does not necessarily mean he doesn't exist? Isn't this the same thing that he just asked?
Well, he just finally got around to it, so he's only doing 9 questions.
Yeah. All right.
Again, not the big issue.
All right. In light of the big, this is number 6. In light of the Big Bang evidence for the origin of the universe, is it more reasonable to believe that no one created something out of nothing, or something created something out of nothing?
Are we repeating questions here?
Yeah, it seems like we're.
I think we are.
Back to
question number 3.
It was a whole thing
with something out of nothing.
Yeah, that was number 3.
Right. That's just a rephrasing, isn't it?
Say it again.
In light of the Big Bang evidence for the origin of the universe,
they're accepting the Big Bang.
They're accepting the Big Bang. Is it more reasonable to believe that no one created something out of nothing, or someone created something out of nothing?
Again, you're talking about a someone that we...
Where that came from, I don't know. Is it more... I would rephrase, is it more reasonable to believe... in an omniscient being that can create everything that came from nothing or always was, or that none of that makes...
Well, it's circular reasoning.
Right.
Yeah. This is not the list that I was hoping for. I was hoping for a conversion here.
Is this like questions to annoy atheists? Because they are fairly annoying.
They're fairly long-winded.
Right.
Well, we're actually going to have to go to our next break, and we'll return with Georgia, Dan, and Jordan. Please stay with us. I'm Hertzy Hertz here with them, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Today, chance of showers. Thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m. Cloudy, high near 71. Tonight, showers likely, low around 60. Monday, mostly cloudy, high near 74. And Tuesday, partially sunny with a high near 79. Nightingale is your eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. The menu is comprised of snacks, bruschettas, and small plates designed for sharing, but is sure to satisfy your appetite. Offer something for everyone's taste buds. Details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. In studio, we're having what I would classify as a fun conversation with Georgia, Dan, and Jordan. Before we continue with this conversation, which will be our last segment with Georgia, Dan, and Jordan, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. It's really important to me that we keep secular voices on the public airwaves and in podcast form. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from Minnesota Atheists, Cucumbers Restaurant, in Edina. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know you appreciate their support on Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise with us on the program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. Our donors of the week is our first Patreon donor, Ryan. So thank you, Ryan, and thank you to all of our wonderful donors. And we do have a quick event to highlight this month. Later today will be the picnic at Columbia Heights, I believe, right, Georgia?
Correct.
And that is always a fun event.
Columbia Park in
Minneapolis.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how I first met Minnesota Atheists.
Aww.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got to bring some food for that. I forget.
This radio program is helped put together by a dedicated group of volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You help keep us on the air and in podcast form. Personally, I like to use this show to help fight false information about atheists and let you know that really we're just normal folks. If you'd like to help, please consider donating at our Radio Fund page or our new Patreon at www.patreon.com/atheisttalk. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization, and we couldn't do this show without you. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michaels and is used with permission. As always, check out the Minnesota Atheist website for podcasts and previous programs, and you can browse articles, book reviews, and peruse our calendar. You can also sign up for the Atheist Weekly email, which will let you know when all of our events are happening. And with this all relevant and useful information out of the way, we can get back to the conversation with Georgia, Dan, and Jordan. So it looks like we did get a quick email on this from a Mike. And Mike asks, what can atheist and humanist groups do for people that are struggling with the loss of community when they realize that they are atheists? Hmm. Yes, he says there's a great sense of loss, not from losing God, but from the social isolation for the people.
Isolation.
Thank you. Long day. For people whose whole lives revolve around church, only to find that it is gone.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think that, you know, that's one of the reasons that I became involved with Minnesota Atheists is because we're all looking for people of similar minds and for support. And churches, let's admit, have that built into their system. That's one of the things they have. There's no reason to believe that any secular organization can't do the same thing, though, and we see it all the time.
I raised my daughter without religion, and part of my community was the daycare center that she went to, and mm-hmm. I made a lot of friends there. But there are a lot of opportunities to interact with and build community with the Minnesota atheist groups and the other secular groups in the Twin Cities, too.
Yeah. I know that the internet had helped me a lot because that's where I found the meetup group. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wait, there's a group here?
Yep.
Score! And they game!
So, I mean, when you go through something like loss, you know, you lose a family member or a friend or you know, whatever, you know, we all have that need to have people help us, you know, because we're pack animals.
Right.
But the question I would ask is, do we need that religious part? I mean, it may make you feel better, maybe. Maybe it doesn't. I've known plenty of people that feel like a loved one died and that they were going to go to hell. And that's not comforting at all.
It's not comforting. No. Well, one of the things that I've worked on with the board in Minnesota Atheist is the well-being committee, which is basically, and it's in the beginning stages at this point, but building a group to help people who are dealing with grief or may need some temporary help, like maybe bringing them dinner and
right.
supporting them in that respect
right.
as well. So.
I mean, I think I know, you know, that like if I don't make enough meetups or like I just kind of drop off the face of the earth, somebody will text me and be like, "Are you okay? What's going on?" You know, that's community and that's support.
Yeah, and I think they're like any other group of people, regardless of belief or non-belief, you're going to connect with certain individuals in that group.
Certainly.
And have that sense of community. And I think that's happening more and more as our group gets bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, for me, I didn't find like the whole, you know, community thing until I moved up here. I'm from real small town, southeastern Wisconsin, and that's all it was just your Catholic church, you know, going to church on Sunday. Nobody else believed the same thing, nor did I want to ask if anybody else did, because that just caused bad things. So then all of a sudden, I moved up here. I found this group. I went to the newbie night, I remember, and I was like, you know, I really like this. So I started going to meetups, and it's been good ever since.
Awesome. Yeah, actually, I went to one of my first ones was a newbie night, and I was like, oh, thank heavens I did this.
See, that's where the picnic was good for me, because I figured, all right, I'll meet these people. If I don't like them, I'll eat some food and I'll leave. You know, I mean, how bad can it be? And I was like, oh, actually, okay.
These people are tolerable.
I remember meeting you at the picnic.
Yeah. It's like, all right,
and
maybe
you had games.
Yeah.
I remember that, too.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, let's get back to our questions, which I'm not sure we'll get through all of them, so we might have to do some of these next month, too.
Oh, you're skipping the hard ones, aren't you?
Well, no, we've left off at number 6. Well, I was going to say, we've kind of skipped some of them because they keep repeating themselves.
Oh, that's true.
So number 7 is, would you agree that something presently exists? And if so,
this is a tough one.
Jordan,
go ahead.
Something as, yes, something does exist.
I know, it's like, it was kind of funny because we read this over the break and like Georgia and I were poking each other going, yep, you exist.
Yeah, something definitely exists.
I'm buying into the fact that this mic in front of me exists. I'm going there.
Somebody made this.
This right. could be just an illusion.
A person.
But it seems to be working right now. So I'm going to believe that it's right there in front of my face.
Is that it? Was that the question?
It does go further. I was going to say, if this is one giant hallucination of my head, then my head needs a better imagination, which I know I have.
Right.
All right. So if something presently exists and something cannot come from nothing, would you then also agree that something must have always existed? I think this is getting into the repeating.
That's a circular argument for a god. Again.
Yeah.
We're just back to the something from nothing question.
Yeah. Personally, it's like, did something always exist? I don't know. Nobody really knows. So
But yes. To take just one entity and insert it into the unknown does not make sense.
No.
Yeah, I mean, physics breaks down when you go back to like, you know, the singularity. So what happened before then nobody knows. I don't know.
And I'm perfectly okay with that.
That's I mean, I'd kind of like to know, but
I
probably won't. So
but I'm not just going to make something
sleep over it.
maybe when we start doing some Patreon only episodes, we can get the author of this article and we can go through this with him.
Right.
All right. Number 8, if it takes an intelligent being to produce an encyclopedia, then it would then would it not also take an intelligent being to produce the equivalent of 1,000 sets of an encyclopedia full of information on the first one-celled animal?
Hmm?
Yes, apparently, according to this gent, Mr. Sean Nelson, even atheists such as Richard Dawkins acknowledge that amoebas have as much information in their DNA as 1,000 Encyclopedia Britannicas. And he's, let's see, that's Richard Dawkins, The Blind Watchmaker, 1996,
here's
looks
like
where, page 116.
Here's what I would like to ask. Define information. All right. Because I've come across this question before. It's never defined. What do you mean by information? Do you mean an instruction booklet? Because an amoeba is not an instruction booklet.
No.
And DNA is not an instruction.
It's not like you're shoving like an encyclopedia into an amoeba or something.
Right.
They're different. I can kind of see where he's coming from, but it doesn't add up to what he wants it to be. It's, nah.
Georgia, you got it? Because I don't have anything on this one.
I have nothing to add there.
Yeah. That's going to be like it.
I mean, can we fill, it's like basically like what we know about ourselves, like that, didn't that help kind of fill the encyclopedias, like with the information that we already had? Or,
well, it's just saying, isn't, you know, an encyclopedia is complex, and this thing's complex. The encyclopedia was created by somebody, so this had to be created by somebody.
Okay.
But yeah. that's not true.
Right.
I mean, a snowflake is very complex. It was not made by anybody. A crystalline, you know, structure is very complex, you know, eight sides or six or whatever. You know, again, not made by any. We could take a million measurements on it. We could have tons of data about it. But that doesn't mean it's made by somebody.
No. Not to mention a lot, I think most encyclopedias, they kind of just skim over a lot of that information. Like, even with those, it's like there are books about certain events that happen in those encyclopedias.
Right.
So,
all right. Equivalency.
It's number 9. If an effect cannot be greater than its cause, since you can't give what you don't have, what you do not have to give, then does it not make more sense that the mind or that mind produced matter than that matter produced mind, as atheists say? I don't know.
Okay, let's start with the first part.
Yeah, if an effect cannot be greater than its cause.
Okay, so let's stop.
Yeah, let's stop
let's
there.
Stop there. Can an effect be greater than its cause? I guess. Let's go back to
how do we measure that, though?
Yeah, because I was going to.
Yeah, what's what do you mean by a? Let's do snowflakes again. Okay, a few snowflakes fall. That's an effect. More fall. Eventually, you have an avalanche. Well, to me, that's a big effect, but maybe it wouldn't be to someone not there, or I don't. I'm not sure what they mean.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they're going with that one either. All right, we'll move along, and we'll maybe get to that one some other time. So, is there anything wrong anywhere? If so, how can we know unless there is moral law?
Moral objectivity! Yay!
I get my moral from cheese.
So anybody want to take on the moral objectivity? like you can't have morals if you don't have objective morality?
Georgia, do you want to go for it?
Can you call something bad unless there's...
So we, as a society right now, we live with a bunch of other people. We cooperate, et cetera, et cetera. That happens in every society regardless of belief.
Or non-belief.
So, absolutely. In fact, our morals are probably better because we're not bringing in an invisible entity that says we should live a certain way.
We decide, what is moral as a group of people, and not everybody agrees.
All right, well, we might have to save this list of questions for next time. So thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. We'd love to have you join us again next Sunday, which should be another exciting episode. And I hope you enjoy. Please stay tuned for American Atheist next.
Hello and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint for Sunday, August 13th, 2017. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. In the last week, we've learned that the American Humanist Association's Apignani Legal Center will be filing a writ of certiorari with the U.S. Supreme Court in a case that they've been fighting against the Birdville Independent School District, which is located in Texas. And this is a school district that has begun many of its, or I believe all of its, school board meetings with prayers led by students and led by faculty over the course of the last decade. These are school board meetings that have students attend to give to receive awards and to participate in the school board meeting. To you know, the privilege of reading giving a prayer before the school board meeting is doled out by principals and by leaders of other schools in the district. And so there's a lot at stake here. This is something that other circuits have ruled on, namely the Third and the Sixth Circuit have ruled that prayers before student or before school board meetings are materially different from the sort of prayers that are offered before town governance boards. So we're talking about things like the town board in Town of Greece versus Galloway. This is in Greece versus Galloway. If you recall, the Supreme Court said that even though the prayers over the course of decades had been predominantly Christian, that the town had done had policies in place that were generally neutral, and that you know, they reached out to different religious groups, and the prayers were directed primarily at the members of the board. They weren't directed at the people attending the town board meetings. But the Third and the Sixth Circuits have said in previous litigation on this matter that school boards are substantively different because it's the primary intersection of students. It's the only time that students themselves are able to interact with the people leading their school district, and that because students are in this audience and are oftentimes required to be there or encouraged to be there, that the prayers before those sorts of meetings do take on a coercive effect. And so this is a really important case. We're looking right now at working with some of our other allies to file an amicus brief in support of the American Humanist Association's writ on this, because we do think this is an important one. And the question just is going to be on this: what is the Supreme Court? How is the Supreme Court going to rule, given the changes that have happened on the composition of the court with a Neil Gorsuch on the court? You know, what is the effect going to be? This case is much more similar to previous cases that have been decided, you know, with school boards, and more dissimilar from Town of Greece or Marsh v. Chambers or any of the other cases that have upheld legislative prayer, because they say, and this is the important factor, that the bodies in question here, the school board is not simply a legislative body, but there are, because there are children there who are subjected to coercion and have to be in the room sometimes, and, you know, are part of these ceremonies, that it presents a unique challenge. So this is one that we're going to be keeping an eye on, and one that we think will be important coming down the road, and major kudos to AHA for following this one through. The reason I bring this up is because school is coming back in session for lots of folks. So if you are coming back into school, just want to remind people what your rights are, because this is really important. This is something that too many people don't know. Sometimes, you know, things just sort of slide through. So, for example, it is completely constitutional for you to, or your child, to abstain from participating in the Pledge of Allegiance. If they are subjected to any sort of repercussions or disciplined or singled out in any way, that is a violation of your student or your own constitutional rights, and please contact us. This is not necessarily just a church-state thing, but a lot of times, you know, those are the folks who have objections to participating in the pledge have those objections for religious or non-religious reasons. So you are entitled to sit out of the pledge if you do not want to participate. You don't have to stand. You just have to sit quietly, basically, and they can't kick you out of the room. They can't threaten you with anything. So that's an important first you know, first thing. That's something that, you know, on the first day you're going to might be confronted with. The other thing that's important for students, especially in high schools, it is not legal for your school to deny you the right to form an atheist club, a secular student alliance, or anything similar. If you want to form that and you can't find a faculty advisor, they actually have to assign a faculty advisor for you. They cannot use that as a reason for denying you. So again, if you would like to form a secular student alliance, if you are a student or your child would like to form one and they are being denied by the school, please contact us. We are happy and willing and able to take those fights because this is a matter where the law is clearly on our side. It is important to remember that it is not illegal for teachers to talk about religion. They are able to talk about religion in an academic context. They're able to talk about religion in part of a comparative religion course, talking about, you know, what different people believe. It is not illegal for a school to ask students to name, for example, the five pillars of Islam or to name, you know, what certain Christians believe the Trinity is. That's completely legal because they're teaching it in an academic context. If the teacher is, however, extending that to talking about what religions are right or, you know, advancing one particular religion rather than discussing it in an academic context, that's where the problems come in. And if you're experiencing that, please let us know. And finally, one matter that I think, you know, resonates for a lot of us, it is not legal for student-led prayer to take place over a like a PA system or anything before an athletic event. So, you know, if students want to initiate their own prayer, that is usually constitutional, but coaches and teachers are not allowed to participate. They're not allowed to lead it, and they're not allowed to try to force it on anyone or coerce students into participation. But even student-led prayer over a PA, a public address system, that is not constitutional. So if you see any of those things, please visit atheists.org/report in order to report a potential violation, and we will be happy to take those on. This is, again, you know, one of those areas where too often people don't know their rights or don't know what is legal and what isn't legal, and things go unchallenged for years. So we want to make sure that as you and your kids are going back to school, that you're able to confront any issues that you're faced with in the church-state separation arena, and we stand ready to help with that. Last thing to mention, this is the week before our national convention. We are heading down to South Carolina to witness the total eclipse that's going to happen on Monday the 21st. We'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday having a really fantastic event. If you're in the South Carolina area, please remember that we have passes available for local activists for $100. Normal price is $229 for members. So we got a great discount if you are a local activist and want to participate. You can get those at the door. We will be at the North Charleston Marriott. And you can learn more about that on our website at www.atheists.org/eclipse. That's atheists.org/eclipse. That's all the time I have for this week. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.